starts off with, it's in your bulletin, but they used, I think, the new international version instead of the new American version. And in the New American version, it says, or New American Standard, it says, the first word is hoy. And it's simply a, hey there. Yes, you. You're the one I'm talking to. Hoy. Kind of an attention getter. We say it to our kids. But in the American, in the newer translations, we leave it out. And so I want to start with that, and then can we read this together? It's in your bulletin. Would you stand for the reading of the Word of God? But let's start with hoy, okay? Ready? One, two, three. Hoy! Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligent to me and eat what is good. Delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We're going through a whole lot of things at Calvin Crest, and thank you for some of the kind thoughts and words that you gave at a tragedy that we had with one of our staff members who fell and was killed. The Lord has been faithful day by day and step by step to take us through that, and it's been through the kindness of people like yourselves and others who have called and come by or have just texted or emailed or Facebooked or so many things. We financially are like everybody else. We're looking at how do we make this work. We've had people come and tell us, are you guys closing? And the Lord's doing new things. So I can't see how he would close it if he's doing something new. But part of it is when something new takes place, there's things that stop and we have to consider. And this verse is perfect for us in that it says, and I'm just going to kind of go with this with you, if you will, as to what the Lord is speaking us. This is our passage this year at Calvin Crest as the staff is going through the book of, in the chapter of Isaiah 55. And we're taking it really almost word by word because we feel like the Lord's doing something and we don't want to miss it. It says, ho, everyone who thirsts. Everyone. So we're looking at how do we open ourselves up for everyone? How do we get prepared for those that we've never encountered before? Later on in the verse or in the chapter, it says, and we will be bringing people to you whom you know not, and they will run to you. And so we have to get ready for that. How do we do that? And we have to kind of open ourselves up. This verse opens up to two different people. I had a professor who once said, the world is broken up into two groups of people. Those who break the groups up into two different people and the ones who don't. It makes it a little bit more simple that way, but in here, he says, to you who have no money, to you who have no money, the poor among you, the ones that can't afford it, the ones that are without, The ones that have no voice, the ones that have no opportunities, the ones that, for one reason or another, they have nothing. And when you have nothing, it's hard to get something. Sometimes you don't even know the system in order to get there. We were, one of the groups that we're looking at, or that we feel like the Lord is talking to us about, is those who've never been invited before. There was I got a call from a church, a big one in Fresno, that said, Tony, the committee got together last night and voted on not bringing the kids up to Calvin Crest. That was 2 days into this position. And that was about 11 in the morning. I got home as soon as I could, which was about 6, and just went direct to bed, pulled the covers over my head, and just, well, that was it. That was a quick tenure of being the executive director. There'll be a little asterisk next to my name, like there is with Barry Bonds and others, that, you know, the cloud is over it. And so I just pulled the covers over my head and going, I don't know what to do. My wife was concerned. But then at about 10 o'clock that night, the Lord woke me up real clear, and said, if they won't come, you hit the highways and hedges and invite those who've never been invited before. And that depression and that fear went away quickly. And I got up and read the passages and read the different things that the Lord was doing. I was writing, trying to take notes, and I was up all, when my wife woke up next morning, I was still awake. And she was concerned because I went to bed so depressed, and now I had so much joy. She thought I was suicidal, that it was that kind of, you know, flip-flop. And so we've been trying to move in that direction. And it's not that we're leaving anybody. We're not leaving those who are Presbyterians and those who are. We're just giving opportunities for those who have never had opportunities. And that presents in itself some interesting opportunities in itself. It's a hard thing to say, come. To open it up. Well, what if they, you know, what if they're not like us? What if they don't? Well, we had a friend that I made shortly afterwards. The interesting thing is, a few days and weeks after that word was given, we started getting phone calls from social centers and community groups and others who are saying, we'd like to bring some kids up to Calvin Crest. Could we do that? Sure, yeah. Well, we're going to bring a bus. And I said, great. When are you coming? Well, we'd like to come this Saturday. It was Thursday. Sure, what do you need? Well, you know, we'd like lunch. We'd love to fix you lunch. What, you know, it was young kids, and so I said, you know, this is all on us. And they go, oh, no. We've got a grant. It's paying for the bus. It's paying for the trip up, and it'll pay full for lunch. So pay us fully for lunch. I knew it wasn't a Presbyterian group because they weren't asking for a discount or something. Those Scottish roots go long and deep. This last summer, that same group, Brian King from the Fresno Street Saints came up and said, we'd like to bring a bunch of kids from the community center. And the Fresno Street Saints are a bunch of ex-gang members. Brian's an ex-lieutenant in the Chicago gang, and he met the Lord and got saved, and so he's trying to clean up Fresno and bring people together and to love on people. Delightful man. Delightful man. And he said, we want to bring some kids up. And I said, sure, why don't you come up and I'll show you where, you know, you guys can be. So we threw them in the back of a Jeep, or we put them in the seats in the back of the Jeep, and we drove up to our outpost. And it's at the top of the property, and there's bathrooms, but that's about it. And kids eat out over, you know, cook over an open fire. And he goes, where are you taking us? Taking you to an outpost where you guys are going to be. He goes, no, we're not going there. Where are you going to be? We're going to be down at the main camp. Are you now? He said, yeah. What are you going to do down there? Because I'm thinking this is what we do with inner city kids. We bring them up to outpost and they sleep out on the platforms and take hikes and eat wonderful food, and we take him to Fresno Dome, and he goes, no, we want to be in the main camp. What are you going to do? You got to get a picture of this guy. He's big. He's pretty tough looking. And he goes, we're going to do us a basketball camp. Basketball camp, Calvin Crest. And he goes, yeah. I said, have you seen our courts? I mean, they're not the best courts. I think they're a little shorter. I think that, you know, I mean, they're perfect for us. So sure enough, he brought up 40 kids, and we did basketball camp in the morning. He brought up some trainers and some people who knew what they were doing, some professionals, ex-professionals, and from 8:30 until 3:30, they did basketball camp, and from 3:30 until 10:30, we did the things that we do at 5,000 feet. And we took them on hikes. We took them on bike rides in the back, mountain bike rides back to where a waterfall was. These kids have never seen any of this before. On Monday or Sunday when they arrived, their eyes were huge. And boy, they were, when Brian said line up, they lined up, because I asked Brian, boy, they're really prepared. I mean, they're really orderly and everything. Well, they're scared because in slasher films, it's always the black kid that gets eaten first. I thought, well, I wouldn't know that. He says, so they don't know what's going to happen here. But at night, Elder Jackson talked to them about the Lord. Talked to him from the scriptures. And then in the morning, he reminded them, you know, we identify with the suffering and the stripes of Jesus Christ. Now take another lap. And they did. 9 kids accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior that week. They were able to approach him in a way that we just couldn't do. When you invite new people in, you get new vision and new insight. You get new voices that see things that we've trampled over how many times. Basketball camp at Calvin Crest. Who would have thought? It says also, and you, why do you spend money for that which isn't bread? And your labors that doesn't satisfy or sustain you. And that's one of the words we've had to look at, is what is it that we're doing that doesn't bring life anymore? One of the things that we're looking at is we're competing so much. Kids, when I was a kid and the earth was still cooling, there was camp, or you worked in the vineyards. That's kind of what you did. Every kid went to camp. They went to church camp. Today, I have friends down in Irvine who bring their kids up, and he says, this is the one week that they slot during the summer for any kind of Christian influence in their life. These are church kids. The rest is SAT camp and basketball camp and baseball and soccer and volleyball and all the other stuff that they just... And they come for this one week. And I had to ask myself, why do I do the things that don't sustain my life? What is it that we're doing up here? And so we had to wrestle with a lot of it. We had to even wrestle for a couple years of even the traditional things of camp, and we took a lot of heat for some of that, and a lot of misinformation was given out, and we even looked at the campfire throwing in a pine cone and dedicating one's life to Jesus. Not because we didn't believe in a life and a relationship and a discipleship of Jesus, but we were wondering, does it do anything more than just create an emotional experience for the moment, and then when it's over, it's gone? How do we teach discipleship? How do we reach deep into their hearts and so they make a commitment, a well-thought-out commitment? And we didn't know. And so people thought that we were leaving Christ as the center of our camp. But it's not really Christ as the center of camp. We have to be in Christ, not just have Christ being center. We have to do the things that when Jesus says, come, that we come. We don't invite Jesus to come. We go where Jesus is, and we go there. I know that sounds odd, and please don't think that I'm not saying we're not interested in bringing Jesus into the midst of it, but we need to be in the midst of Jesus. Does that make sense? There's three beverages that are being talked about here. There's water. And for some of us, a good drink of water is crucial. We get home and we think, it refreshes, it brings life. Those areas that we're parched in, it brings life. Today we had kids that they buy power drinks. And in it is caffeine and sugar, more caffeine and then more sugar, and the weirdest tasting stuff, I don't know. It tastes worse than lima beans, but it jacks them up. Are we offering that which refreshes the soul, that brings life to the soul? Jesus says, I am the living water. You won't be thirsty after drinking of this water. The next one is milk. Come and buy milk. I'm a grandfather. I have to remind myself that because the kids were just this, our kids were just this big not too long ago. It just quickly came up. And I remember these old codgers come up to me and go, appreciate them while they're this age because it's going to go by fast. Oh, what do you know? Well, I'm the old codger now and how quickly it goes. But I remember when Simon was first born and we're sitting in the hospital. Crystal's got and just gave birth and we're pretty excited. And then in comes this pretty hefty woman that's, on a mission, and she comes in, walks in, and how you doing? Good. How are you doing? Good. I'm from the La Leche League, and I want to talk to you about breastfeeding. Okay. Whatever. And she talked to us about the nutrients of mother's milk and how important it is that it brings nourishment, how it brings that in some, there's no, in the children, the child gets the antibodies from the mother's milk because they're so susceptible. Are we nourishing? Are we raising kids up well? When they arrive, are we nourishing them to where we are giving them from our experiences and our lives, our training, that we've seen how God works and passing that on to where they may live in the same manner? One of the gentlemen that I have the honor of knowing for a long time and working side by side with is Bill Dodge. And I see his brother back there, and we usually see each other at hospital rooms when he's having some problems. But Bill knows that area like nobody else. He came up there as a graduate from UC Berkeley or UC Davis. Didn't know what he was going to do, and Ted Lyons asked if he would stay on and be the Acamo guy. Bill said, sure. That was back in, 72 or 3. And he's left for a little while to be a junior high teacher, and he came back to run our outdoor education system, our program. Bill wrote the program. I want kids to come up and get to know men and women. I want them to spend time with Bill Dodge. Not because he's flashy, but he's true. And I listen to when he speaks. There's wisdom. He's older than I am. I remind him of that all the time. And he speaks wisdom because he knows the area. Some college professors were coming up and were partnering with Fresno Pacific University to bring some at-risk kids up. And Bill, I wanted them to be with Bill. See, for you and I, we grew up with Bill Dodge's types because that was our dad or that was our uncle. That was our next-door neighbor. That was our... But kids today don't have that. They don't go to 5,000 feet. They go to the mall. We need to nourish them. We need to give them the things that the culture is never going to give them. We don't get asked to take kids backpacking, but we feel like kids need to get out into nature. Somebody asked me, well, how are you going to market bringing kids up to know Bill Dodge through relationships? We're not trying to put Bill on a pedestal, but what I'd love to do is you who are retired and know how to fish and know how to take hikes and to know how to sew and know how to quilt and know how to cook and know how to do everyday kind of things, how do we get you up? Instead of a 22-year-old, and I'm not anything against 22, I was there, thought I knew everything. But how do we pour your experiences into this generation that's coming? How do we nourish them? How do we give them the milk that you have to offer? The last thing is it says is wine. And I had a hard time understanding the wine part. Being Italian, it was at every meal. My dad would go, now, this is just like the lima beans. This is just food. This is part of the meal. You don't drink it when you're just out after a football game. It's part of the meal. Wine is a community event. Wine is a celebration. Wine is something that when people gather together, it's for all of us to enjoy. It's not for us by ourselves. So all of a sudden, it's about hospitality. It's about what this church, who I don't think I'm, if the choir was here, I'd be preaching to them, I know, but just in how you warmly welcome me and what I hear about Escalon is your desire and community. I'm concerned about how much you knew about me, and I was afraid you were going to get to my high school SAT scores and principal notes and other things, but your community needs to be reaching out to those as it already is, I'm sure. There's groups out there that don't know what you know or have what you have. The last thing, and I'll close this, I don't want to have us go too long because I'm sure they'll think that we're occupying Escalon or something if we stay in here too long, but it says, listen. Listen to what is good. Incline your ear. Hear. I meet with my friend Scott Falk on Friday mornings. We call it Perfect World. We eat at a place that usually a slab of meat and some eggs and potatoes. And we call it a perfect world because we love being together, and in a perfect world, we'd be able to do this all the time. So we just said, perfect world, 6 o'clock? Yes, I'll be there. We sit across from each other, and there'll be times that Scott will say something or I'll say something, and my hearing is going a little bit, but I lean in to hear what he has to say. My mom, who's in her late 80s and is having Alzheimer's time, when she is aware, I lean in to hear what she's going to say. The love that she has for Jesus is still there. I lean in. And God's saying here, come. Lean in. Lean in and listen. And if you do, if you lean in, I will give you the same covenant that I gave to David. Because as we know, as we celebrate his psalms, and he knew the heart of God because he took time to lean in. He just didn't do the perfunctory things, Bible studies and stuff, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there is something when it replaces teaching people to lean in to hear what the voice of God has for them. We're competing with a whole lot of voices that you don't need to lean in on. It just blares at you. We feel like we need to unplug some of the things at camp. And we're getting some youth leaders saying, you know, you're going to lose the kids if you do that. And I'm wondering, I'm not saying let's play Perry Como songs or something like that. Those of you who know who Perry Como are, it's going to date you. But there's something about listening to you singing with everybody else. My wife is a choir teacher. And in the old days, we'd get together and we'd sing and with all of her friends. We'd stand in a circle. And somebody would bring out something that they were learning, and we'd stand in a circle and listen to each other and harmonize. And we learned to harmonize, listening to Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and Young, listening to their harmonies, James Taylor. We don't hear harmonies because we don't spend time to listen to each other. These are scary times. It's not the time to move away. It's a time to bring out the wine and to move into community and teaching one another what we know. I want to challenge you old guys and gals that are here that you're thinking that you have nothing to give. Poppycock. We need to know what you know. We need to hear your stories. We need to be able to spend the time. If nobody's asking you, boy, I sure would love to know them. Because what you went through, some of you went through the crash of 29. Some of you went through rebuilding and what it took to live on very little, to lose it all, to build something from the ground floor, to start up businesses, to start a farm, to start a family. You guys know what it is. We need to listen. And you that don't know who Perry Como is, we need to ask the questions. I'm real concerned about what we're offering kids today. because we're letting somebody else do it for us. We need them not just to get saved. It wasn't the pine cone that they're after. What we're after is, how do we get kids to listen to that voice? We can teach them the 15 things that they shouldn't do, and when they get home, they're going to do 13 out of the 15 because we brought it to their attention. But when God says, come, he starts to speak to us about an abundant life, not about a list of things not to do, but about a life. Thank you for letting me speak. It's an honor to get a call from Troy and to say, nobody else could do it. Would you come? You don't mind traveling. I love to. I have a pretty good case of depression. And I'm trying to fight it. But I fight it by doing the things that God calls us to, instead of just thinking of the depression. I think about, what is it that God's calling us to? And there's abundant life in that. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.